Thanks so much for listening today. We hope that through this message, you are being filled with the grace and hope found in the person of Jesus Christ. If this message and ministry has made an impact on you in any way, be sure to let us know about it by emailing us at mystory@thefuelchurch.com. And even if you couldn't be here in person, be sure to check in with us on Instagram and Facebook to let us and others know that you are listening and growing with us here at Fuel Church. Every month through these check-ins, we are making a global difference. Now, let's jump into this week's message.
Red Bull excited to preach this. I'm Bang Energy Drink excited. I'm Monster Drink excited to preach this tonight. Ephesians 3:20, our theme scripture for the series, now unto him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than we can dare ask or think. Infinitely, what's that next word?
Beyond
our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Sunday, we've seen that this scripture requires two things to happen. Number one, us in the natural got to get a hold of God in the supernatural. And when the two come together, something supernatural happens within our lives. And it goes beyond when we link up with faith, when we link up with a lifestyle of faith, it goes beyond anything that we can pray, hope, or dream of. That God has so much more for our lives than what we are living. And many times we have limited God. We have put God in this box and we have limited him. And he's so much more bigger than we can imagine. He's bigger than I thought he was, right? He's bigger than I thought he was. And so many times I've limited him. And so we talked about faith, what faith is. And we titled Sunday's message, Faith 101. And we talked a lot of different ways that faith works. And now that we have faith, we're going to need something else. And it's found here in Hebrews 10:36. Look at this. You need to persevere. Somebody say persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You need to persevere. You step out on faith, believing God for the impossible. You step out on a dream, a vision. Now you need to persevere. Sunday I'll be talking about it, but in the Bible there's a principle. It's called seed, time, and harvest. Seed, the seed of your dream is planted in you. But then in the middle, someone say in the middle, there's time. Time can also be known as perseverance before the harvest comes. You're going to need something. You're going to need some grit. You're going to need some grind. You're going to need some tenacity, some resolve. In your life, you're going to need some staying power in your life, some determination, some resolution in your life if you are going to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Yes, the promises of God are yes and amen, but they also require perseverance. They also require obedience. Obedience. We're going to learn about that tonight. Once you've been walking with God for some time, I know we have a lot of new Christians here, but once you've been walking with God for some time, it no longer impresses you as much that people have the faith to start something as it does those who have the fortitude to finish it. It doesn't impress me that much that people have the faith to start something as much as it does those who have the fortitude to finish something. Because of the culture we live in, the generation we live in, we want everything now. We live in a fast food culture. We pull up to the window, God, I need a number two. Biggie size it. Come on now. God, I need this, I need that. And we expect to pull up to the next window and boom, God drop it in our lap. And when he doesn't give it to us the next week, we get mad and blame God. Because of the culture has taught us the wrong way. The culture knows nothing about perseverance. But if you're going to obtain the promises of God, you're going to have to learn perseverance. you're going to have to get the fortitude to finish it. Many start strong but finish weak. Example, case in point, Samson. Started strong but finished weak. Tonight I want to unpack a story in the book of Acts 27. I've preached this story before, but not in this way tonight. First time ever preaching it this way. And I want to talk about Paul. Paul's on his third missionary journey. We're going to dive into chapter 27. But let me give you some background first, because Paul is in transition and in trouble. Transition and in trouble. Transition and in trouble kind of go hand in hand, don't they? You ever notice in your life when you're in transition, trouble shows up? Am I talking to anybody yet? And so here we find Paul. He is declaring the good news of the gospel to the Gentiles. He, in this chapter 27, he has been in 2 years on trial for preaching the gospel of grace to the Gentiles, who the Jews did not vibe with. The Jews did not believe that they could receive salvation, but Paul had this encounter. You remember Paul's story, right? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he would persecute Christians, and he actually killed Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned. I think the Bible says he held his coat when Stephen was stoned, and so he was radical about persecuting Christians. And then the Bible says he got radically saved on the road to Damascus, and light shined and his eyes blinded him, and you can read the story in Acts, and all of a sudden he has this conversion, and the Bible says that he had a moment when he met with Jesus. He had this moment. We don't know if he was translated to where Jesus was or Jesus came to him, but we do know that Jesus unpacked to him the gospel of grace. And we see that through the writings in Galatians and Ephesians. So here Paul is now. He's saved, but he's now being persecuted. He went from persecuting to now being persecuted. And he's 2 years here on trial. We know that many of his writings, or better known as epistles, were written during this period of time. Here we find him in verse 27 getting on a ship for Rome, getting on this boat with 275 other prisoners. He's a prisoner here, and they're taking him to Rome so that he can stand before Caesar to await his trial. Now, God gave Paul a word that he would stand before Caesar and share with Caesar why he is preaching this gospel. But what God didn't tell him was that from that ship, over 2,000 miles to get to Rome, all what would happen during that journey. He would be shipwrecked, the Bible says. He would be snake bitten. Come on now. He would be stoned, not recreationally speaking. All these things would happen to Paul. But God gave him a word. God gave him a word. So it's very clear that God said, you will get to Rome. He didn't say how it would happen, but he said, you will get to Rome. You will stand before Caesar. Are you hearing me tonight? You will preach the good news in Rome. You will. God told him, it will happen. And the title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes, is It Will Happen. I want you to hit your neighbor and say, it will happen. I don't care what the devil told you, what your ex told you, but it will happen. Come on now. It will happen. It will happen. Not if, it will happen. Acts chapter 27, verse 9 through 11. Let's start in the text here. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement, so Paul warned them. Paul was in tune with the Spirit of God, by the way. Throughout his 2 years of imprisonment, God used him in mighty ways to deliver words from the Lord to jailers and get people saved, even in his imprisonment, even in his persecution. He was always declaring the good news of the gospel. And so here he is again, getting an unction from God. And he says, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be a disastrous and be a great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also." Not good news here. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Paul is saying, he's warning the centurion soldier that, "Hey man, I don't feel that we should venture out into these waters. I really feel an unction here from the Lord that we shouldn't go out into these waters." But the centurion listened to the owner instead of Paul. In this case, the question is, who's steering the ship? Who's steering the ship? And we talked about who's on your ship a few weeks ago, didn't we? We talked about who's on your ship, and some of you are rowing when you need to start throwing. Did you hear that message? But what I want to ask you today is, what's steering your ship? What I want to ask you today is not who, because we threw Jonah off. He gone. She gone. We text him and said, "It's over. My pastor said so." So they're gone. But I got to ask you today, what's steering your ship? Because every ship is steered by something. The ship represents your life. The ship represents the direction you're heading. Are you hearing me tonight? We will either listen to our senses or the Spirit. Who's steering your ship? Is it your senses? Is it sense and reason? Is it doubt and fear and unbelief? Or is it faith and hope and love? Is it the Spirit that's steering your ship? Because one or the other is steering the ship of your life. Are you moved by your emotions every day, every hour, every minute of the day? Are you in your feels that much that you got to tell us on social media every 10 minutes what kind of mood you're in? You're probably allowing your senses to steer your life. Are you with me? And may I submit to you that your life is heading in the direction you're being steered. Are you happy with the direction you're going? Funny thing in Christianity, we blame the devil for a lot of things. And I think like 99% of the things, I got 99 problems, but the devil ain't one. Anyway, I think like 99% of the things that happen to us and in the situation we put ourselves in is not to blame the devil or our spouse, but it's to blame not the enemy, but the inner me. And the enemy's getting, he's laughing. He's like in Tahiti with an umbrella drink where it's real hot because hell's hot. And he's laughing. I mean, I don't even have to do anything to these Christians. They're letting their senses steer their ship. They're letting the emotions rule and reign in their life. I don't have to do that part in the Bible that says kill, steal, and destroy. They're doing it to themselves. Are you hearing me tonight? True Christian maturity says, I got to move from this infancy of faith, this infancy of my Christian walk. And I've been on the bottle a little too long. It's time for me to move out of being moved by every wave and every care and every emotion. I got to allow the Spirit to steer my ship. I've been allowing my emotions, and can I tell you that your emotions lie to you a lot more than you think? Not all the time, but a lot of times they lie to us, don't they? They lie to us. And so a lot of us are like this centurion. Instead of listening to the voice of God, because a lot of times the voice of God doesn't make sense. Did you hear me? Most of the time the voice of God doesn't make sense. So we're like the centurion. Nah, I ain't gonna listen to that. I ain't gonna listen to the man of God, the voice of God that came through Paul. That doesn't make sense. And what we're doing, we're listening to our senses because they say that makes sense. In the faith realm, it never makes sense. It never makes sense. Are you getting this tonight? There's a lot of stuff in the Bible that God told people to do that didn't make sense. Have you read this book? Have you ever opened it?
besides on a Sunday? You should read it. It'll rock your life. It's not a Disney story. This did happen. This did happen. And there's a lot of stories and a lot of people that were used by God and that didn't make sense. And if you live your life by what makes sense, you will never be a strong person of faith. You will be in the infancy of faithhood. But God wants to move you from the infancy to another level of faith. And that's what this is. And that's why this word's a little bit deeper than what I would do on a Sunday, because you're here. You're hungry. You're thirsty. And so if it always has to make sense for you to obey God, then you'll never sail out into the deep waters of faith that God has for you. You'll never sail into waters that you've never navigated before if it always has to make sense. It didn't make sense for Joshua to walk around the walls 6 times, once a day. And then on the 7th day, Joshua take the praise team out. He was like, hey, yo, get that fuel band and march around the wall the 7th time and those big walls will fall down. It didn't make sense. What do you mean? March around 6 times once a day and on the 7th day get the band out and sing praise unto God and the walls will fall. But they fell down because faith doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense for Moses to take his staff and part the Red Sea so the children of Israel could go across and that Red Sea go up like walls and they went across the Red Sea on dry ground. Didn't make sense. I'm sure Moses was like, are you sure, God? This is going to part it, but he did it. Didn't make sense that the lions didn't touch Daniel in the lion's den. The first ever Daniel fast. Didn't make sense. Lions are hungry. They want meat. They should have devoured him. Didn't make sense. Didn't make sense that for Jesus to hang upon a cross for the sins of all of humanity. Didn't make sense. Didn't make sense for Gideon to be the least among his tribe, to be called by God a mighty man of valor. When Gideon's this small little soldier in his army saying, I'm nothing, God. My tribe is so small. How could you use me? And God used him in a mighty way. Didn't make sense for Esther to go from a nobody to a somebody. One moment she's out in the field gathering the crops, the next moment she's in the palace with Mordecai. Didn't make sense, but favor doesn't make sense. And favor hit the life of Esther and promoted her within a day. Didn't make sense to Abraham to trust God and leave his own hometown. Didn't make sense for the fish and the loaves to multiply to feed almost 20,000 men, women, and children. Didn't make sense for Naaman to dip 7 times in the river so his leprosy could be healed. But he had to either make a choice, am I going to obey my senses or obey what the man of God said? Didn't make sense for the widow woman of Zarephath to go borrow vessels. The prophet told her, hey, you're in debt, go borrow vessels. Go take them go borrow vessels from your neighbors and bring them back and watch the oil be multiplied so your debt can be paid. Didn't make sense, but most things in this book don't make sense. Didn't make sense when the blind man came to Jesus and Jesus went down and grabbed a pile of mud and rubbed it on his eyes. What are you doing, Jesus? This does not make sense. And the man's eyes were healed. Friends, we must learn that we have to obey God rather than man. And oftentimes, obeying God means disappointing people. Oftentimes, obeying God means disappointing people. Are you living your life by what makes sense? If you're always trying to make sense, you'll never walk by faith. You'll never walk by faith if you're always trying to make sense of it. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by what? We walk by faith, not by the senses, not by what we feel. We don't walk by our feels, we walk by faith. Because you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you may not feel saved. But the fact is, you are just as saved right now sitting in church as you will be tomorrow morning with morning breath, boogers all up in your nose, hair all jacked up. You're just as saved then. Come on now. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. He can't rob you of your salvation, and neither can man, and neither can anybody that you work with or anybody you're at odds with right now. They can't take away the Jesus in you. They can't. Can't do it. So are you living to what you can figure out? Are you living by what you can only calculate? Or are you living to a sense of confidence in the promises of God that are yes and amen? Are you living by your senses? Or are you living by the Spirit? Because if God said it will happen, it will happen. If God made you a promise that he will restore, it will happen. If God made you a promise that everything the enemy has stolen will be returned financially, spiritually, relationally, physically. If God made you a promise that your kids will be saved, it will happen. If God said, I'm giving you another chance, it will happen. If you're on your second or third or fourth marriage, but God told you he's going to bring you a spouse, it will happen. Are you hearing me tonight? So what I want to talk to you, what am I screaming for here in about a minute? What am I screaming for? It's this. My faith isn't in how it will happen, but in my God who said it would happen. Now I'm ready to preach. Now I'm ready to preach. Now I'm ready to preach. That was warm-ups till now. My faith isn't in how it will happen. I don't have to calculate. I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to allow sense and reason in. Well, I just don't see how that will happen. I don't have to know how it's going to happen. My faith is in the God who said it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. You do not have to understand to obey. You do not have to understand to obey. You do not have to understand to obey. You just have to obey. You just have to obey. You don't have to understand to move forward. You don't need all the details in order to move forward. You just have to move forward. You don't have to have it all figured out in order to move forward. You don't have to know where it's going to end up taking the next move, the next step. You just have to take the next step. Am I preaching to anybody besides myself tonight? I'll give myself a hand clap here in a minute. But what happened was, they ignored what God told them to do. The centurion ignored it. Look at this, Acts 27:13-15. Now I'm going somewhere and we're going to wrap this all up real nice in the end. Stay with me. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm. Someone say this ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and we were driven along. Can I tell you, it does not pay to ignore God's promptings. And here's where some of you find yourself. Here's where some of you find it. Now, at the end, it's going to get better. Just stay with me here for a few minutes. Here's where some of you find yourself, just like this ship being driven along, because there are always consequences for disobedience. We can't get away from the consequences of disobedience found in this book. And I know we don't like to hear that in church, but there are consequences when we disobey God. God's boundaries are meant to be a blessing, not a burden. God's boundaries. He puts boundaries in his word. Why? Because he loves us. He's a heavenly father. Do you put boundaries with your kids when they're by a busy street? Do you tell them you can only go this far? If you're a good father or mother, you do. Right? Why? Is that because you want to punish them? Is that because you don't like them? Is that because, you know, you're mad? No, it's because you love them. You put boundaries up. Boundaries are blessings, not burdens. They protect us. Right? And so many times we think, God, man, I just don't know if I can live up to this book. I just don't know. Well, you can't if you're letting your senses steer your ship. But when you let faith drive it, you can live this. You can live this. And so here we go. Some of you are in the same place here. You're being driven from one storm to the next. The Bible says that they were thrown around in the sea. The wind, the hurricane force wind was throwing them around, and the ship got caught in the storm. And here's the same thing that happens to some of us. It's happened to me in my life. Because I didn't obey, we're being driven along from one storm to the next. Have you ever been there? You know what you should have done way back then, but because you didn't, it's a domino effect in your life. I mean, I've seen my life and I'm like, man, if I just would have made a better decision with that, all this wouldn't have happened, right? And so here's where they are. Some of you, fear stopped you from stepping out in faith. And here you are. Now you're 10 steps ahead and you're like, man, if I wouldn't allow that fear to stop me, I would have stepped out and I would have started that vision, that business that God called me to start. But because of it, you're being driven from one storm to the next. You're being driven. You're being caught in the storms of life. Some of you have allowed people to put water on the fire, the passion of your life. And your flame is just barely flickering now, right? Because you allowed certain people to speak into your life that are draining you spiritually, that are taking you away from the Word of God. So faith is not being built. Faith is actually leaking in your life. And you know, if you could rewind a year, 2 years, and you wouldn't have been in friendship with them, you would have been a whole lot further in life. Just being driven along from one storm to the next. You're in church, you're serving, you're on a team, you're saved, right? But you're going from one storm to the next. What's steering your life? Your senses or the Holy Spirit? Some of you, God told you to step out and lead a small group, but you said no. God told you to step out. It's time for you to step out of your comfort zone to lead a small group, and you said no. Some of you are being prompted now to lead one, and you got anxiety and stress about it. But God's saying, hey, will you step out and do something? Will you take a step in the natural, and I'll put my super in front of the natural, and watch how I'll use you to touch the lives of other people? Some of you, God wants to help you financially, but you've never taken the first step to be a tither. God wants you out of debt. He wants you blessed. He wants you to be able to bless that single mom. He wants you to be able to write checks to help people to get to faith-based rehabs. He wants you to get to that point. It's in your heart to do it. You know you want to do it. You know you want to be a blessing to others, but you just haven't taken the first step to initiate a life of generosity in your life. We should be further along, but we're being driven along. Man, I look at my life, some areas, I should be further along, but I'm being driven along because of my disobedience. How many times have I been disobedient to God? Oh, I lost count. I lost count how many times I didn't go with the promptings. I lost count how many times that God said, hey, pay for this for them. Hey, do this for them. Hey, say this to them. Hey, give them a hug. Hey, do this, do that. And I disobeyed. How many times I've lost count, and because of that, I should be further along, but I'm really just being driven along. The story goes on. It says in verse 18 that the cargo begins to get thrown off of the ship. The very thing that they needed to sustain them to get to Rome, they had to get rid of. Sometimes it's the things you never thought you would lose that would leave your life. For some of you, it was your marriage. You never thought you would lose it. Now it's gone. The very thing that they had to have to sustain them, they had to now toss because they were in the middle of the storm. Why? Because of disobedience. Are you hearing this tonight? This is probably just for me. It's probably just for me and my wife. It's probably just for us. Why? Because we didn't do it. We didn't say yes the first time. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. How long are you going to stop pushing the Holy Spirit away? How long are you going to keep saying, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to join. No, I'm not going to allow others into my life. No, I'm not going to allow no one to see what's between my toes because I've been hiding that my whole life. How long are you going to keep pushing? Verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm, that the next day they begin to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. It's getting bad. When neither sun or stars appeared for many days, wow, the storm continued raging. And we finally gave up hope of being saved. You ever been there? You ever given up hope? Been there. Not a fun place to be. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What does that mean? Hope deferred causes depression and oppression and suicide thoughts into your life. Sick. You have a sick soul. They gave up hope. They gave up hope that, God, I don't know if it will happen. I don't know if we'll even get to Rome. I know you said it, but I don't see it. I know you said it, but we're in the middle of the storm. We're throwing cargo and tackle over. All our greatest possessions we're throwing over. And God, we ain't got no hope. We ain't got no hope of ever getting rid of this unforgiveness. I ain't got no hope of ever getting free from this addiction. Everybody thinks I'm free, but I'm really not. I ain't got no hope of getting out of this state of loneliness, this state of depression. I ain't got no hope of ever getting free from this spirit of pornography, even though I'm in leadership in the church. I ain't got no hope of ever breaking the financial lack and struggle of money in my life, because that's all I seen growing up was struggle and spending and no management of finances. I ain't got no hope of pursuing the dreams that you placed in me. I've given up all hope. I've given up all hope. I know you said it will happen, God, but right now I don't see it happening. I know what your promises say. But God, I've given up hope. And maybe it was your fault. And maybe it was your fault. But can I give you the good part? Can I give you the good part? With 1 minute and 40 seconds left, can I tell you the good part? Look at this, Acts 27, 21 through 25. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice. You disobeyed, guys, to not sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you, keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, the angel of God to whom I belong to and whom I serve stood beside me and told me, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you will stand before trial, before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me.'" You can't change what happened. I said, you can't change what happened. You can't change what happened. But now, someone say, but now. But now faith is. But now faith is. But now faith is. But now, I can't change what happened. But now faith is. Some of you are going to get it. Some of you are going to get it. I can't rewind the past decisions, the disobedience. Come on now. I can't rewind and change it. But now faith is. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. So I can't change what happened then, but I can do something right now. I can do something right now. Yep. I can begin again right now. I can get a fresh start from God right now. It's not too late. No, no, no. That dream of that business, of that career, it's not too late. God can resurrect that dream within my spirit right now. God has given me another chance. God has given me another chance. I love what Paul said. Hey, man, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Come on. Why did he tell them to be of good courage? Because they were discouraged.
They thought it was over. Their life was over. They thought they were all going to perish. But he said, hey, I need you to be of good courage. The boat will be destroyed, but we will not be destroyed. The plan that you had will be destroyed, but you will not be destroyed. It will happen just the way God said it. Just the way God said it. The boat will be lost. Is your hope in the boat? Because the boat's your plan. The boat's what you want out of coming to church. See, some of you come to church for yourself. It's time for you to come to church for others. Some of you are so spiritually fat, you can hardly sit in that seat. And others are giving out, and you're sitting there just receiving. It's time for you to start coming to church for others. It's time for you to get in the game. It's time for you to serve on a team. It's time for you to get involved. Yeah, it will happen. My hope is not in the boat. My hope is not in the boat. My hope is in the plans that God has for me. My hope is in the plans. God said, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and an expected end. God said, I know the plans. Is your hope in the boat or is your hope in me? Is your hope in the boat or is your hope in me? If your hope is in you, then it probably won't happen. If your hope is in me, it will happen. Because the promises of God are yes and amen. And no word from God will fall to the ground. Heaven and earth will fade, but the word of God will never fade. It will never perish. If God said it, God will do it. If God said it, God will do it. If God said he's going to restore it, God will do it. If God said he's going to give you peace, God's going to give you peace. It will happen. I know right now you're in a storm, but I'm here to tell you, to encourage you, it will happen. Just as God said, it will happen. It will happen. Get your hope out of the boat. Get your hope out of the boat. Get your hope out of the boat. It's going to happen just as he told you. Why? Because he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because he's been beside you all along through every storm, even the storms you caused. Even the storms of disobedience that you're in right now, God's still with you. So I'm going to encourage you today to grab that vision he told you. Grab that dream. Don't give up hope that he's still a healer. Don't give up hope that he can turn it around. Don't give up hope. Don't lose your hope. It's the worst place you can be is to lose your hope. Don't lose your hope that your loved ones aren't going to be saved and come to know Christ, your kids, your family members. Don't give up hope. It may take longer than you wanted it to, but it will happen. I'm telling you it will happen. I'm telling somebody right now it will happen. I'm telling you right now by the Spirit of God, don't give up hope on your family members. I'm telling you right now, you keep praying for your kids. You keep praying for your mom and your dad. You keep praying for your brothers and sisters to be sitting beside you, be worshiping beside you. You keep inviting. It will happen. It will happen. You keep going after God no matter what they say at work. No matter how much persecution comes your way, you keep pursuing God. You keep getting stronger in God. You keep letting go of hurts, hang-ups, and habits and allowing God to mold you and shape you into the man or woman of God he's destined for you to be. Who cares what they say? It will happen. It will happen. I came to tell somebody today it will happen. It will happen. I came to stir your faith up tonight to tell you it will happen. I don't care what the devil's lied to you in your mind, telling you you're over, you're done. You've made too many mistakes. That's the biggest mistake you could have made. No one will ever love you. No, God will never use you. The devil is a liar. He ain't nothing but a mouse with a megaphone. Big bark. No bite. It will happen. Why will it happen, Jacob? Why will it happen? Well, it'll happen because I'm confident of this. He who begun a good work.
God didn't save you to leave you right now. I'm telling someone who just went through a divorce, God didn't save you to leave you. He didn't save you to leave you. You feel like a failure. You feel like you lost. You may have made some mistakes, but he didn't save you to leave you. He's right there with you through the divorce. I don't care how many times you've been married. I don't care. I don't care. 100 times. It doesn't matter. God's not going to leave you. Because he who begun a good work in you will carry it out to the completion until the day of Christ. He who begun a good work. If he started it. If he's the author of your faith, he's the finisher. If he's the author, if he's starting it all and he's finishing it, he's got everything in between. He's got everything in between. I'm confident of this one thing. He who begun a good work is able to complete it. It will happen. My faith isn't in how it'll happen, but in the God who said it will happen. Some of you, the baby's kicking again, spiritually speaking. You feel the leap again in your spirit for the first time in a long time. And God told me to tell you today, it will happen. It will happen. You're going to see it again. You're going to see it through the eyes of faith again. You're going to believe again. Your hope has been dashed. Your hope has been broken. But you're going to hope again. You're going to believe again that God is able. That God will come through on my behalf. I believe, God. I don't know how, but I believe. I don't know when, God, but I believe. You're going to come through for me. Because I'm your child. I'm your daughter. I'm your son. I'm your son and daughter, God, and you have good things for me. You have great things planned for my life. So I believe it will happen. Lord, help us. The tension between doubt, unbelief, and fear. The tension of our faith sometimes is such a pull in either direction, God. We ask you, help us to allow the Spirit to steer the ship of our lives. Help us to have faith in the God who said it will happen. Not in how it will happen, when it will happen, but in you, God. We give it to you right now. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you've never made a decision to accept Jesus into your life. We want to give you an opportunity. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, or you want to make a decision to recommit your life to Christ. We're going to say a prayer with you in just a moment. Before we do, we're not here to embarrass you, to call you up front or anything like that. But before we pray this prayer, that's you today. You say, Jacob, include me in on this prayer. Would you just lift your hand so I could see who you are? Just throw it up and you can put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Anyone else want to join in this prayer? Just throw your hand up. Amen. Let's say this prayer. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Come live in me and I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Once again, thanks for joining us for this week's message. If you would like to know more about us, be sure to visit us at thefuelchurch.com. It's also here where if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can click on the online giving tab. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And we hope and pray you have a blessed week.